Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new, brand-new Russell Wortham Show coming to you live, commercial-free from my super-secret Batcave. Folks, we are back, and back in the middle of greatness. Man, we have a big show for you. We're going to be going over Night of Champions and Battleground as we are speeding along to Money in the Bank over in London at the O2 Arena. Also, at the end of next month, we have the Great American Bash. And so lots to get to. Before we do any of that, welcome on in, kick your feet up, get something cool to drink. This is scorching outside. I tell you what, it is getting hotter than a pistol, but we move forward. If you're new here, welcome on in. This, of course, is your one-stop shop for everything WWE, and as you can probably tell, again, no music. Don't know where my iPad is right at the moment, but we move forward. Right, so this is the introduction, and just going to share something very quickly, and then we will go into the main event. So, this past week, I watched, as I'm sure you did as well, I watched the season and / series finale of Ted Lasso. Man, that is a once, not just a once in a generation show, it is a once in a lifetime show. It was that good. It was that good. If you saw the finale, you know what happened. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who didn't see the finale. But just such a great show. Oh my gosh. So much happy, ugly crying. It was just like, oh my gosh. So much ugly, happy crying going on right there. There was one point where I was full on, just about ready to just bawl my eyes out. And it was at the very beginning of the show. Again, I won't give away anything. If you haven't seen the finale, do yourself a favor. Watch the finale. It was just that good. And, you know, again, it's towards the front of the episode. So you'll see right up front. It was just so good. So I'm very, very grateful that I got to experience one of the greatest television series I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, I've seen a lot of them in my 44 years of life. And this, Ted Lasso, man, that was, I mean, it more than stuck the landing. A lot of people on social media, on YouTube, have said that this was the perfect finale, and I agree. It was amazing. It was a perfect finale. So please go, you know, just do yourselves a favor, go watch the series finale of Ted Lasso. Is So good. So good. Right. Well, that is the introduction. So we go straightway into Night of Champions, and Night of Champions was really good. It was extraordinarily good. We start off with AJ Styles versus Seth freaking Rollins, a.k.a. Colby. I dug the Titantron for Colby. I mean, it was the Seth freaking Rollins, but it had, you know, different looks for Seth flashing across the screen. It was very cool. It was really, really cool. Now, I don't usually make too much of this, but, you know, I noticed what Colby was wearing. He was wearing Jaguar colors. I mean, think about that. He was wearing that poofy jacket with the print, and then, you know, the blue with the Jaguar spots and on his tights. And I'm thinking, is that a shot to AEW? I mean, they were only a mile away from AEW a couple weeks back in Jacksonville. Now, Colby is wearing Jacksonville colors. Are they trying to really just clown AEW? I don't know. This was a dream match. Yes, AJ and Colby have faced each other before. But this is, I mean, these are two of the best in the world. Let me say that again. These are two of the best in the world. And yeah, that's a bit of a thing with CM Punk. Look, I don't know why Punk. I mean, this is a bit of a side tangent, so forgive me. I don't understand why CM Punk went back to AEW. Yes, what WWE did, misdiagnosing a staph infection, that is bad. I mean, that is life-threatening bad, right? So no exceptions, no excuses about that. But I will say this, that Punk at All Out last year said, "I'm dealing with children here." Now, we all know about the backstage fight between the Elite and CM Punk and, you know, all that. Words were said, feelings were hurt. We all get that. So I'm like, okay, Punk, why are you going back to AEW? And you go, okay, you go. Now, obviously, he didn't start off on Dynamite. But, you know, so there's Dynamite, then there's Rampage, and now there's Collision that starts tonight, I believe. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so now you're on their third show? You're the biggest star on this planet right now, Punk. You really are. So, why you're being down there, the third tier show, is beyond me. Now, maybe you're doing it so that you can get away from the Elite. Basically have, you know, let them have Dynamite. Let the second tier have Collision and, have Rampage, you have Collision. So maybe it works. Maybe it all works out. I don't know. But getting back to my point, that was a dream match between AJ Styles and Colby. That Saudi Arabia crowd was hot. I mean, it was hot all night long. That dome was rocking. I couldn't believe it. It was just so good. It sounds cliche, but it really was a back and forth match, which is really good. There was a sales clash attempt off of the ropes that Seth countered into just a really ugly Frankensteiner, and I mean ugly as in, I mean, yeah, he got AJ up and over, flipped him up and over, but he didn't get like all of it. So yeah, Colby took a dive and he landed on his foot just wrong, jammed his knee, and I thought, here we go. This is where Colby is going to lose the match. But AJ didn't get all of the pedigree. So they kind of traded moves there. Colby gutted out the World Heavyweight Championship and is now, well, the World Heavyweight Champion. A lot of people, myself included, still think that's the consolation title, but we'll see what happens with that. Now, one last thing about the opening match was, you know, I was so sure that AJ was going to have the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, Doc Gallows, there backing him up. But to his credit, he didn't. They shook hands on the following Raw back in the States. So that will be a heck of a rivalry, I think, going forward. Right. Next match is Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch. It's a very cool, and I'm going to have to, it's going to be this really fascinating study to do one of these times, is to go and to see where, if Colby goes out first, then Becky goes out. Becky goes out first, then it's Seth, next. So I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to, see how many times that happens, because that seems to be the pattern, and it's a really cool, tag team parenting thing that they got going on. So I thought that was really cool. Those bodysuits that Becky and Trish wore were just dope. I mean, they were just dope. Becky with the whole Kill Bill, vibe. Trish with, it was a simple one. It was black and pink with, thank you, Trish, on the back. But I mean, those bodysuits were just dope. I really dug those. It was a tough match. It was hard-hitting. They didn't pull any punches. I mean, they really did not pull any punches. Both looked very awesome. Again, you're going to hear me say this a lot. This was a very well paced, well-balanced match. It was back and forth. But, unfortunately, Zoe Stark came in and ruined what would have been really just the end to a great match. Becky goes to, so if you look at the ring, she went to the front apron, looking for something, and Zoe Stark, you know, who's hiding. I mean, man, you have got to make friends with the ladders and all of the stuff underneath the ring for like 30 minutes, my gosh, or whatever it was. Because Zoe comes out, she pops out, she gives Becky this, you know, tilt-a-whirl, go to sleep, which I thought was kind of cool. Throws Becky back in for Stratisfaction, and Trish Stratus wins. So, you know, hey, I thought that was a great match. Okay, now I know Gunther, but I will always call him Walter. So Walter versus Mustafa Ali. Ali was money. I mean, he was money. He took risks. He pulled out things that I didn't think he could do. He had that Saudi crowd going, you know, for a while, and really had the Saudi crowd believe, okay, maybe this could be like a thing. Okay, maybe Mustafa Ali could unseat, dethrone, whatever you want to call Walter. That didn't happen. Walter regained his dominance, beat Ali. Now, I put, at the time I was watching it, is this Mustafa Ali's last match in WWE? And I was thinking, well, AEW will be in Chicago for the aforementioned Collision. So, is this his final match in WWE? Not really. This was his final match on the main roster, but it was revealed that Mustafa Ali now is down in NXT along with Baron Corbin. I hope that this is not just a 3 week, you know, hey, we're gonna send you down there for like 3 weeks and then, you know, we'll bring you back up and you're just gonna job out again. I hope that they can retool both Mustafa Ali and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, you know, I think when he was King Corbin, I think that was the height of his, I guess you'd call it power, and it's just kind of slowly faded away since then. But Mustafa Ali is down in NXT. Class act. I think that's a heck of a move, and we'll see what happens going forward. Next up, Bianca versus Asuka. Let's just forget that Bianca was booed out of her shorts, shall we? I mean, you know, the announcers kept trying to make it look like, you know, oh, Asuka's, you know, the bad, you know, is the bad guy. She's the heel in this equation. And, you know, Bianca's like the good guy. She's the baby face and all that. But that kind of was like, okay, I don't know. The crowd wasn't buying it. For the second straight pay-per-view, you know, first was Backlash, now with Night of Champions, the crowd turned on Bianca. And so it's going to be an interesting you know, situation, see what happens, you know, with that. Asuka just turned on the vicious meter. I mean, she really did. Before that, Asuka had an awesome entrance. I dug the remix music of her theme. But yeah, Asuka just turned on the vicious streak. My gosh. Bianca was just taking a beating throughout the match. Now, this was before the end of the match. I openly questioned, is this Asuka's last best chance at being a champion? Because they made it, the last year or so, they made it pretty prevalent, pretty clear, they don't want Asuka anywhere near or close to the championship, which I thought was a little weird. And people on social media, and I totally agree with this too. The people on social media are saying that Asuka should have won at WrestleMania. Well, go figure. I mean, if they were just going to give Asuka the championship at Night of Champions, they should have just said, you know what, we're going to switch at WrestleMania and give Asuka the win at WrestleMania, give her the title, and then, you know, kind of go from there. But, I mean, it's like people said too online, I guess better late than never. So, the ending came when Asuka was being set for the kiss of death. And earlier in the match, Asuka tried to spray that blue mist into Bianca's face. But it missed. But Asuka, when she was up for the KOD, she reached into her mouth, grabbed some of that, you know, residual mist, and then just kind of wiped it on Bianca's, you know, face to blind her. And Asuka actually won. I was really, really, really excited about that. Next match, Rhea Ripley versus Natty Neidhart Wilson. All I'll say is blink and you miss it. That's all I'm going to say about that. You blink, you miss the match. Now, I've heard online, and I don't know how true this is. I've heard online that Natty tweaked her knee, and so they had to get out quick. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, they did Natty dirty. I mean, they did Natty just completely dirty. And, you know, at this point, I'm thinking, Natty, I know you're a loyalist. I know you're a loyalist. And I know that you are probably a lifer. But she needs to go to Impact. She needs to go to AEW. She needs to go to New Japan and really kind of reinvent her career. You know, I think Natty is way better than what she's being portrayed as. They're portraying her as a bit of a, you know, matron slash gatekeeper. And I think that's really kind of too bad. Cody and Brock. Cody was resourceful. He used you know, his cast to bludgeon Brock Lesnar. And, you know, so it's just kind of one of those, you know, kind of one of those things. But Cody, he keeps trying to do Crossroads way, like, one too many times. And maybe that's how they're trying to get away with this. But, you know, so he hit Crossroads, like, twice. And then, you know, he went for, like, that third time. Brock escaped and then trapped him in that Kimura lock. And forget it. It was lights out for Cody. Cody did not tap out. He passed out. And so we'll see what happens now. I know that last year when Cody injured his pectoral, you know, his right pectoral, going into Hell in a Cell against Colby, I understand that there was really a broad timetable, but there was this idea of, oh, dude, weak. What if he gets there to the Royal Rumble? He goes back to the Royal Rumble, and then, you know, he goes back to the Royal Rumble, and, you know, he wins the Rumble, and here we go. Well, that's what happened. Well, Cody's arm. Now, again, I don't know if it really is truly broken. I'm going to go with that. They say 4 to 6 weeks for an arm to, you know, to heal, depending on the severity of the break. Look, I've broken, you know, my left pinky. It's still not perfectly straight. It's a little curved. Broke my right wrist. In a pedal bike accident when I was a kid. So I know just how tough it is to have, you know, a broken bone. But, and here's the but if you do the math, that's money in the bank, folks. I as much as I would love for Drew to win and for Drew to take down Roman, this story's already there. The story is already there between Cody and Roman from WrestleMania. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Finally, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline. It was physical. It was emotional. It was a match of the year candidate. And the Usos broke up with Roman and Solo. They super kicked the heck out of Roman. And that was kind of the beginning of the end for the Bloodline. A few last things about the Night of Champions. I dug the fact that they showed Sami Zayn and Mustafa Ali taking their pilgrimage to Mecca, and for the just unprecedented access into the holiest place for Muslims, I thought that was really cool. As a person that has a great appreciation for history, right? I thought that was really, really cool. I also dug that Sammy came out in traditional Arab garb. And he introduced him and Kevin in Arabic, because Sami Zayn is of Syrian descent. So he introduced Kevin and himself in Arabic. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a really cool, classy touch. I don't know why Sami Zayn is hanging back, you know. It's like Kevin Owens comes out and then Sami Zayn's music hits, and then it's like, you know, you're waiting like 30 seconds, and then it's like, oh, yay! You know, if they're trying to plant some seeds, you just got those two back together. You just repaired their friendship. Why are you trying to destroy their friendship again? I don't get it. I honestly just don't get it. Right, finally, Battleground, Wesley versus Tyler Bate versus Joe Gacy. It was fast-paced, it was hard-hitting, there were a lot of near falls, and Lee gutted out a win. My question is, who's left for Wesley to beat? You got the Heritage Cup being contested. Dragon Lee versus Noam Dar. Round one, they were feeling each other out. Round two, it was a quick pin by Dar. Round three, Dragon Lee picks up steam. Round four, Dragon Lee ties up the match. Round five, Noam Dar won by cheating. But I will say this, you know, Dragon Lee is as advertised. I had heard of Dragon Lee. I didn't really know much of his work. I had heard of him, though. And it just kind of was like, okay, I see what all the hubbub is. I see what you're doing, WWE. I see what you're doing. So Dragon Lee, I think he is there to stay. Next up, Dijak versus Ilya Dragunov. Again, you're going to think I'm a broken record. It was very physical. I mean, the bruises, the welts on both of them were like, what the heck? Now, Vic Joseph and Booker T were saying, oh, this match could feasibly go all over the place because it was the last man standing match, and this could go all over the place. Stay inside the arena. I miss those days. I miss those days where they went out to the concourse, or they went out to, a concession stand, or they went to, you know, some far off part of the arena. You know, if you say it could feasibly go anywhere in the arena, let them go outside of the actual, arena. Let them, like I said, go to a concourse. Let them go, up to, Skybox or, something. Give us something. Look, the people in the arena are going to be just fine not seeing said people for, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They're going to be fine. You know, you're not going to lose the crowd. If it's a hot match, you're not going to lose that crowd. I promise you. I am very impressed by both men and their determination. I mean, they were taking shots at each other. Oh, my gosh. And There were times, I mean, there was one time where, you know, he was dragging off. I mean, he was literally, you know, leaning, you know, kind of prone or bent over the middle rope. And, I mean, that was the only thing that was propping him up was that middle rope, you know. And, it, again, so, so physical. Again, get the ice baths ready. I just thought that was something. Then came when Elliot did a stomp off of, you know, steel step onto Dijak, driving Dijak into a steel chair. And then Elia beats the count and wins the match. And then as soon as the bell rang, he fell back over. So heck of a match. Great, great, great match. Next up, the Creed Brothers versus Gallus. Two hard-hitting, bruising teams going after each other. The tag team division is just in sad shape. I did some rough, crude math, and between the main roster and NXT, again, some rough, crude math, we're talking maybe 10 tag teams total. I mean, through Raw, SmackDown, NXT. 10 tag teams in the entire company combined. That is scary. You know, I honestly, and this is no disrespect, this is zero, 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 zero disrespect. I actually had to look up today on Wikipedia who the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions were, and that's Kaylee Ray, okay, Alba Fire, but it's Kaylee Ray and Isla Dawn. I forgot that because they don't really have much of a women's tag team division. And it's Gallus and, you know, Gallus and the Creed Brothers. You know, you've got K Squared. That's four. You know, Jensen, Jensen and Briggs, you know, that's five. And then on the main roster, you know, you've got Damage Control, you've got New Day, got the Usos, you got Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You have Shotzi and Raquel Rodriguez, and you've got the new women's tag team title holders of Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler again, well, and Pretty Deadly. So again, rough crude math, you have maybe 12 tag teams combined. That's kind of scary. But anyway, Tiffany Stratton versus Lyra Valkyria. It was a gutsy performance by Lyra. The knee brace was ripped off. It was targeted. Tiffany Stratton had just a really, towards the end of the match, she had a just absolute, just insane dragon screw whip, or leg whip. And, I mean, that is a dangerous move. You can tear, you know, tendons and all that if you're not careful. Lyra Valkyria did climb back into the match. She was doing amazing. But it was not enough as the new NXT Women's Champion is Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany won with that triple jump moonsault. It's a thing of beauty. I mean, she hops up the, you know, up the ropes just effortlessly, just hops up, you know, the ropes, and then just one fluid motion, she flips over. And it was really cool that the fans were actually behind Tiffany Stratton. I don't know what that means for people like Roxy Perez. I don't know what that means for some of these other people. But the fact that Tiffany Stratton actually got cheered, I was cheering for her. It was so good. It was match leader candidate. Just go watch it. It's so good. Finally, Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker. Melo was on top for really most of the match. Bron did have just a sick midair spear. Did not secure the victory. And Melo didn't miss, and he is still your NXT champion. So huge, huge stuff going on there. Right. So that is essentially the show. Now, coming up next week, I'm going to talk about the qualifiers for Money in the Bank, and we will go from there on that. Also, I will be talking about the brand new, and if you've seen it online, you know what I'm talking about, the brand new WWE Universal Championship. It's gold colored. Yes, it's got a black belt, but it's gold colored. It's gonna take a while for me to really, you know, really okay with, and get used to. But, at least now, Roman doesn't have to lug around two titles anymore. It started to look just hokey with him, you know, having two titles. Now he has just the one title, and I thought that was really cool. So we'll talk about that also next week. But we're gonna finish up with some thank yous, and then we will go from there. So thank you to all of you. I am heard in 32 countries. Extraordinarily grateful for every single person that listens to me on a weekly basis. Grateful to the folks over at Envato Elements for the music, sound effects. I'm grateful to Mr. Craig Smith, the Godfather, as I like to call him, head of OneStopWrestling.com. Hey folks, if you want wrestling content by fans, for fans, go to OneStopWrestling.com. It is just so amazing. We have a lot of great, great podcasts. We have YouTube channels. We have blogs. We have articles. We even have a magazine. So, folks, just go check out OneStopWrestling.com. All one word, OneStopWrestling.com. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. So, that is the show. Thank you for being here. And until I see you guys later, this is Russell Wortham. And just like the Beatles sang all those many years ago, love is all you need. I will see you guys later.